Well, church, good morning. Thank you. Thanks so much for just choosing to be here. We're really just excited to learn. So we're going to have the scripture reading this morning, and I'm going to read it up off here, so I didn't have time to transition. The passage is from Luke 14:33, and it says, "In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything, you cannot be my disciples." The word is as relevant today as it was back then. Yes? Amen.
Amen. Justin just does it all around here, doesn't he? It's amazing. So, good morning. How are we doing? Good. All right. Well, hey, we're concluding the King Jesus series today. So, for some of you, you might be like, oh, man. Some of you might be like, yes, finally, something else. So, what we're going to do is next week, we've got kind of a standalone, and then we're going to go 7 weeks in the I Am statements of Jesus in the book of John thereafter. All right. Let me review a little bit about where we've been, and then we'll get into the last week. The first week of the series, we essentially said this: Jesus has to be king if he is also to be savior. The Christian life is not that we just trust God for our salvation one day as if to get us out of the bad place one day, but it's to proclaim him king right now. So that was week one. Week two, we discussed that his kingdom is not of this world. It's an unseen kingdom. We live in the unseen realms, and the bottom line essentially was that Jesus came not for us to make a decision, which is above the surface, but to have a conviction deep under the surface. That's why he came and said, repent and believe the good news. Believe as in our core convictions. What's most deeply true about us should align to Jesus. And then week three, Steve addressed the question, what do we do when kingdoms clash? Do we lean into the kingdom of God's values, or do we lean into our own? And then in week four, we dove into Colossians 3, and we concluded that when we set our hearts and minds on things above, the depths of us begin to see things more clearly as they really are beyond ourselves. We have to get beyond our own viewpoint so that we can see things the way that God sees them. And then last week, week five, we addressed the fact that we're not responsible for producing the seed or even our own growth, but to instead focus on our own soil by absorbing and retaining the Word of God, sitting, ruminating, dwelling on the Word so that it begins to take hold in our lives and then growth is produced from that. So, if you weren't here, you're caught up, all right? So let's get into this week. This week is going to kind of come full circle back to week one, very similar to week one, but let me pray for us as we get started. Father, thank you for this time. Please just soften our hearts in this moment to receive the word that you have for us today. I pray that you'll speak very clearly through me. I pray that it'll be your word, Holy Spirit, work in this place. We love you so very much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14, and let me just say as we get started that the message of Jesus was always intended to be encouraging. And sometimes that encouragement is right away, right out of the mouth of Jesus. But sometimes it's not encouraging right away. Sometimes there is some cutting that has to happen before there's encouragement. Maybe we're off in the wrong direction, and in order to hear this word and to live in freedom one day, we have to actually look at some very hard, challenging things. In Luke chapter 14, in this parable that Jesus is telling, he's speaking to kind of both of these groups of people. One group will hear this word, and they'll just be so liberated and excited. The other group is going to have to chew on this for a little bit. Let it marinate. Let it sit with them, and then if they choose Jesus in the process, then ultimately encouragement and freedom will come as well. But let me just set the stage for you in Luke chapter 14. Jesus has been invited to this high-status Pharisee's home for a banquet. But as you know, Jesus doesn't ever compromise truth. So he gets to the banquet, and he starts kind of criticizing the attendees who are jockeying for higher position at the table. And he says, that's not how you should do it. And then, to the person who's hosting the banquet, criticizes him too and says, look, when you host a banquet, don't just invite the people that you can gain things from. Invite the people that you can't gain anything from to that. And then, there's this individual who says, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And Jesus uses this opportunity to tell them just what the kingdom of God is actually like. And like we talked about Wednesday, Jesus would often use a parable, which that word parable means to throw alongside of a truth. And yet also it means, it's like two words sandwiched together. It also means to compare or contrast two different things. So Jesus would tell parables in order to contrast, here's what you think the kingdom of God is like, or here's what your kingdom is like, but here's what the kingdom of God is actually like. And essentially what he's speaking into in this parable is this. There was a perception of the kingdom of God of religious people in the day that I've earned my invitation to the party that is one day in heaven. And this will be an exclusive club for good people like me. The reality of the kingdom of God that Jesus taught, though, was through zero accomplishment of your own. You are invited to a party that begins right now. His kingdom here among us now. And you're invited along with everybody else. You've probably experienced this with friends, or maybe you're one yourself. I don't know. But don't tell on yourself if you are, right? But you've probably got that one friend who gets an invite to something, and they receive it with great joy. They're like, yes, that's great. I will plan to be there, right? But then the time comes to be there, and the excuses start flying, right? Oh, I'm sick, or I'm tired, or I got this thing going on. And I got to tell myself for a second, you know, sometimes when it comes to kids' birthday parties, I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. You know, I'd love to be there. And then it gets to the day, and I'm like, do I really want to go to the princess birthday party? I don't really know. It's the same way back then. You'd get an invite to something way ahead of time. And then, oftentimes, people would receive it with great joy. Yes, I plan to be there. But then when the time comes, yeah, I don't know. I got this going on. What Jesus is saying in this parable is, you loved the idea of eternal salvation one day. So you received that invitation, you said, great, this is awesome. Yeah, eternal security, wonderful. But then Jesus comes in and he goes, hey, by the way, this kingdom is right here, right now, for you to live into. And these religious leaders at this banquet go, I don't know. I don't know if that's something I want to be involved in. What Jesus is saying here is he's revealing to them where their hearts really are. They wanted that self-preservation one day, but they didn't want to enter into his kingdom now, proclaim him as king now. So the excuses start flying. Luke chapter 14, starting at verse 15. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. Now, don't miss that, all right? He says, everything is now ready. What's he saying? Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God is here now. See, up to this point, it was, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. The Old Testament, it's coming. But Jesus is saying, it's here now. And in Luke 4, he reads the scroll and he goes, this has been fulfilled. The time has come. It's here right now. Don't miss this. It's so important. See, we can say all day long that we want to join the party one day in heaven. But the reality is, if we don't want to join it now and proclaim him as king now, our hearts are not also set up to one day say that either. That's what Jesus is saying in this parable. Verse 18. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. All right, let's just look at these excuses for a second. Okay, the first guy, what do you mean did you buy land without ever going and looking at it? You know, I mean, all except for the COVID era, that never happens, right? If you're from California in 2020, you were like, just get me out of here. I don't even have to look at it. I'm just kidding. But any other time throughout history, what do you mean you didn't look at the land before you bought it? This is an excuse. Or the oxen, you didn't try out the oxen before you bought them? No way. Or how about, I just got married. How about just bring your wife along to the party, right? So many excuses here. And we can see that now, how bad those excuses are. But let me modernize it a little bit. Jesus, I wanted to spend time with you today, but man, I was really tired. Jesus, I got so many meetings today, I just can't squeeze you in. Jesus, once ball season is over, then I'll give you everything at that point. But I mean, we're just going and going and going, and look, we just don't have time. Once the kids are out of the house and my schedule's not so crazy, then I'll come to the party. Over and over and over again, we see this. You know, one of the great things about having kids, besides the fact that I love them dearly, is that they get you out of stuff sometimes. So, sorry, can't go to that thing, you know, it's bedtime for the girls, or diapers, it's been a rough day, you know, all that stuff you can do. But when it comes to entering into the kingdom of God, if we find ourselves over and over and over again making excuses for why we can't come to the party and dine with him, we've got to contend with the reality that he's just simply not that important to us, let alone everything to us. Have we accepted the invitation of going to the party? I mean, that's really the question. Or are we continuing to make excuses? Is there always a ball game? Is there always a tomorrow I'll go? Then we've got to contend with the reality that we don't really in our hearts want to go. Verse 21. The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became very angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." Large crowds were gathering with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their very own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Skip down to verse 33. "In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple." Now, don't get hung up on that word hate in verse 26, all right? That word hate at that time does not have the forceful, loathing, emotional concept attached to it. It's really just an order of hierarchy. It's lowering something. And family, on a case-by-case basis, is really good, all right? But family cannot take the top spot. Discipleship to Jesus has to take the top spot to everything else. Family, your very own lives, your very, very own self, nothing can come before discipleship to Jesus. See, these religious people, they proclaim that they love God, yet when the time comes to put their chips in the middle, their hearts were oriented towards other things. And meanwhile, those who thought they never had a shot into the kingdom of God they're invited. He says, "I go to the lame, the crippled, the people that the religious people never thought we should embrace because they ain't got a shot in this." Jesus says, no, you are invited. So if you're here this morning and you feel like, man, I've been shut out by religious people, I've been told I'm not really welcome at the table, and I'm certainly not told I belong at the table, I want to tell you today that in the kingdom of God, you are invited. You can come to the table. And in fact, if you're in a desperate situation, you're probably very ready to receive the gospel and lean in and praise God for that. Man, God uses some of the sketchiest people throughout the scriptures. Let's be honest. I mean, David's not working on my staff. There ain't no way. He ain't getting close to my wife, all right? And yet God used him. Or Paul, how about murdering people for a living? And God uses him. Or Moses, dude gets so angry, flies off the lid, that he kills a dude with his bare hands and had a speech impediment. And God uses him. You are not too far gone for God to use. You got to know that. It's not about your merits. It's not about what you bring to the table. All that really matters is that you bring all of you to the table. See, Jesus is doing an entirely new thing It doesn't matter your resources, your gifts, what you think you can bring to the table. All that matters is that you bring you and all of you, 100% of you, to the table. See, in the kingdom of God, it's an open invitation. Whether you are a murderer or a monk, it's an open invitation. And those who think that they deserve to go to the party ought be concerned that they won't be there. And those who think that they don't deserve to be at the party will find, by God's wonderful grace, that they are invited to the party. Jesus is doing an entirely new thing here. And yet, he says, I don't just want part of you, I want all of you, 100%. And yet, I got to say, guys, that in our culture today, it's like pulling teeth sometimes to get people to crack open their Bible, to pray, to come to church, when discipleship to Jesus is the greatest invitation you'll ever be given. And yet, here we are, twisting arms to get people to come to church. Discipleship to Jesus, yes, comes at a high cost. But if you think that's high, try non-discipleship to Jesus and see what kind of cost that comes at. If you think loving your enemies is hard, try hating them. See how that goes for you. If you think forgiveness is hard, try unforgiveness. See where that leads you. If you think living in anger and all those things is the way to go, just try it. See where you land. See, Bonhoeffer wrote a great book called The Cost of Discipleship, and no doubt that cost, especially for him, was very high. But I'd like to see a book called The Cost of Non-Discipleship, because that cost is extremely high, and spoiler alert, it will be higher. It'll lead to a life of bitterness and frustration and unforgiveness and relational stress and withdrawal and anger and rage and sadness and isolation and generational cycles. A life of me, 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 me. A temporary life that is no life at all. Or we can embrace this easy yoke where Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's discipleship to Jesus. No more excuses for why we can't come to the party. All that matters is that we orient our whole life around him and treasure him. He is everything. And I just think we've lowered the bar in the church for way too long. The bar is high for discipleship to Jesus. It is everything and nothing less. Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls, and when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hidden in the field. It's an investment. It's a wonderful investment. It's like the merchant looking for fine pearls, the best pearls. He had all these pearls piled up, but the opportunity at discipleship to Jesus gladly gives all that up for these fine pearls. Do we know that discipleship to Jesus is the greatest opportunity we'll ever have in life? And we happily give up everything else for it, because it's everything. Paul says like this. He says, there are unfathomable riches in Christ. As in, you cannot reach the bottom of it. The riches just keep going and going and going. But in order for us to experience that, you got to give everything. You bring nothing with you into the kingdom of God. You don't even bring yourself. You leave everything at the door. But then Paul says it like this in Philippians 3:7. He says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Worship team, you guys can come forward. See, we don't look at what we lose. We look at what we gain in discipleship to Jesus. And the reason we do that, it says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And what was that joy for him? In large part, it was reunification with us. And that's what's so amazing to me about Jesus, is that he never asks anything of us he wasn't willing to do himself. He gave up everything to be reunited with us. Of course, he wouldn't settle for anything less than everything in a relationship with us. We've got to put all of our chips in the middle on Jesus. I just want to be real blunt for a second. I think a lot of us may get to the end of our lives and go, man, we blew it. We held on to all these other pearls. You know, we put so much value in this thing or this thing or this thing. And all that mattered all along was that we give up all the things for the fine pearls that are the name of Jesus. Have you given up everything? Are you holding on to more things? There's really two different people probably coming in this morning. One is, this is such encouraging news that Jesus says, you're invited. And you just go in liberation. You just go, yes. I mean, what a deal to give up everything and embrace this kingdom of God. Amazing. And you just jump at the chance. But there may be some of us who have to look very hard inwardly and go, are there other pearls I'm holding on to? I mean, is it like twisting my arm to get me to even read the Bible or pray? Or is it the greatest opportunity to crack that thing open and go, the words of life are here. This is everything to me. It's like eating ice cream, man. It's like, let's go. Yes. Is it a treasure to you? Is it fine pearls to you? Or is it a duty? Jesus says, verse 33, in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple. Have you given up everything? All that matters at the end of the day is that we proclaim deep in our bones, King Jesus. Join the party. No more excuses. Leave it all behind. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the greatest invitation that's ever been given. Discipleship to you. Would you be so gracious during this time of worship if there are things getting in the way? Maybe there's bitterness, frustration, isolation, anxieties, worries, all these things that we just keep praising. And that's the reality. We can't make excuses and say, no, it's just the way it is. No, we're choosing to praise those things. And instead, right now in this moment, we go, God, we just want to praise you. Give it all away and give it to you, King Jesus. Love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. During this time of worship, we're going to sing a song called All Hail King Jesus. And I would love for you to pray that deep within you that Jesus is King. Let's worship.